Mr. Tony Cameron, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Cameron?
That's in the north. I'm down the side. Little bit of sport, proper. And that was the real mining system.
And what was your date of birth?
The 2nd of January, 1990.
And what did your father do for a living?
My dad was a miner. The two girls were mines. He was a mining farmer.
How many were there in the family? I mean, how many brothers and sisters?
Two brothers older than me. Five sisters. Three older and two younger.
And what kind of a house were you living in? Was there enough room for you all?
Not by today's standards, but it's really because it was all one upstairs. That's all. There's a kitchen downstairs. One bedroom upstairs. There's two rooms downstairs. That's right. My dad always slept downstairs. But that's because he slept in some upstairs. I can hardly remember.
Did it have what they call mod cons, bathroom and electricity? Hang on a minute. Before we go on to your work, was your dad in regular employment? Because they were hard times.
Yes, in those days, there was very little stock of work in the north, in the pits, more or less all the time, apart from the pension strike.
Did that, I mean, you'd be about 7 then, did that affect you at all?
Well, I can remember being fed at the old sisters helping out, giving me the breakfast, and that was really good. She wanted to get the breakfast.
Did you suffer a lot during the strike? I mean, obviously.
Can't say suffer because I didn't realise just what the suffering was. I know it was a bad time for my mum. I don't remember that. She was not very happy.
Why? What?
Well, she was just coming and starting to look after this woman. After all the years, in the teens, you can see, I remember, I was 7, so my older girl would be 17, the other one about 19 or 20, the other one, and they were living with me, and we were blacklisted, we were not speaking.
Was he able to, I mean, did the blacklist work? Was he able to get a job after the...
No, my younger brother, the other one was working with the police.
Now, so what about your education? Which school did you go to in Crawford? Now, what kind of an education do you reckon you got?
as far as those days concerned, because the standard of the teaching I realize now is far better than what this present existence is. You know what I mean? You have to learn and there is disciplines. And you learn the things that matter to you that are really right and repetitive.
So, did you enjoy school?
I did, yes. The problem is, it couldn't be done for a teacher to do it. So, now, at 11 years of age, we sat in class, and if you passed, you got to go to school. Now, just at my time, at 11, we sat those in class, those passed, good, but not good to go, they had to buy their own books and things. Yes, they had to go. But if it didn't work, you had to get the run on the table before you paid for books.
So, as far as you and your family were concerned, there was no option but to leave at 14. So, when you left at 14, now you didn't go in the pit straight away. What did you? Where did you get a job?
My mum didn't want me to go in the pits.
Why not? So she wanted you to get a chance to use your brains outside of the pit?
Somewhere outside of the pit, sure.
What did you get?
The brickyards. The brickyard, the Phoenix brickyard, at the top end of the bridge. I got started there.
And what work was it, did they put you on there?
Slavery. I used to. Another 14-year-old, maybe put my shoulder in the English with me, and he used to load the loads of cannon with the bricks. Some were common and some were sticky, but still the common ones had the bricks had to be stacked. When that was happening, we used to have to clean out, like the kilns. It was a bit of fire. It was really the fire from the top.
Was it still hot? So that sounds as hard as the... Now, you didn't stay there long, did you?
No. I was not finished there. I'd done about 6 months. And he asked me to go in there on Saturday morning. And I was going to go in the Saturday morning. I wouldn't buy it. I couldn't get paid. I still got me back at work. I was sitting there with a long face. And I was here all the time. It's a matter of fact.
Now, which pit was that? So that would be when you were about 14 and a half. Now, what did this start you on at?
Just big bottom boys, and there's always a dozen or more boys in the big bottom with the various things, the books, the people going in the cages, and up with the empty books open down. They got to be handed around to this cage behind them. And that was one of the first jobs that he got, but the empty books came up. Now he's back into the pit. He's got a pile of three and change, which is formed every empty. And then one of the empty came, and the other empty was feeling, and he connected the water. And he's one of the three and change.
What were your first impression? If it would be the first time you were down a pit, what did you think of it the first time?
It's not, I was rather surprised that I was expecting to be in a sort of, you know, going into all the cages and things, but it wasn't going to get the facts. My question, that is, any life, as long as you have a good life, once you go away from the electric,
so that was your first job. How long would you be doing that pit bottoming? So you still weren't on driving?
I started, the first driving I did, I started four-wheel drive, maybe a couple of years.
What exactly was that, the job of driving in those days?
Four-wheel driving, you mean?
These were the replacements for the pit ponies and things. I mean, it was mechanised now. But you were on the drums, the the mechanical ones. So what was pony drive? Would the truck still be on rails?
Yes.
But pulled
on rails, but they were simple. The electrical motors which were the object, the athletes, they would be about 80 foot and a half.
That was haulage driving.
That's haulage driving. They went into there, the pony driver.
So he for the haulage to be taken along by the mechanical method.
The haulage would be taken by the mechanical method. To get from where the mechanical method left them to the actual pony page, where the page for the film. Two more drives.
One by the ponies.
The pony driver with three or four trucks, he'd take three or four and leave them on a plane with a pony footer. The big one would take them to the pony page, bring a full one back. So they always have three or four trucks. The pony driver used to pick three or four trucks up, take them away to where the AP came to, and take another three or four back. And that was where the system was. But the pony footer was only handled on the conditions there. From that point, if the pony face the conditions would be allowed in to handle one foot.
Why was that? How would the conditions differ?
Well, that was the driver was, the new driver was. See, in the old places, the old backhoe places, which were well taken to be maintained and so on, they didn't allow the conditions to be. But where did the driver of the pony face? It was new ground. The supports had to be left in the change to as much as the road came out. Now you can get places where the pit truck actually was doing pretty well together.
There'd still be rails, but it was the surrounds. But the surrounds were.
And you could say, I don't know, the road came because it was still there.
So that was that you were doing ponies. Did you get on well with the ponies?
Oh yes. It was a wonderful thing. It's hard this time to fit the sea get it to be able to fit. If anyone with a bit kind of sense knew how to handle the good body and get the most of the good respect to him. Quite a lot of fellows who have never had any experience in climbing a course as a pony driver. And naturally the ponies used to come up to work because to have a crew, you didn't have the experience to handle them properly. But if you did, if you knew if you use them properly, it was a satisfactory thing. It was slave labor, but the ponies could make a job of labor.
And what were the secrets of handling a pony? Well, you said it was common sense, but what would you do?
The way you use your voice. The way you use your voice. And set them at the right time. The right situation. You didn't get many apples, but if you caught them at any other time, you didn't get any greens.
Just
I have to use part of the passage to put on the road. The horse keepers didn't like that because the ponies were always fed on the ponies to the chopping to chop hay. And they used to get one scoop of oats or something. I don't even know how he fed them, but it was a standard diet, and it feels like he couldn't even kill them.
But you still did it. So your job was basically just back and forwards when you were on the ponies, back and forwards between the putter's pony and the haulage. Now, when you were on ponies, you had nothing to do with looking after them then. You didn't help in the stables. Now, when you went on to putting, what was the job of putting then?
Like I said, where the driver got to his feet or four times, he put an empty up. He put it into the cold place. He put a full bag that the man who had to be living in the cold there. He brought the cold one out, but another had to put it in. Then I had about 6 or 7 different places where the man was there. He had to maintain
And that was more skilled because the ground was rougher. I mean, it was just harder to get it through.
It was more skilled, but it was
Didn't that depended as well on how many they were filling, the men, I presume. And what was hard about it? Just this business of why was it such hard work?
Well, the place of the law, the lanes and sweepers were slung down even at the cold place. When they had once their cold place, they were bearing these lanes down to the 4 foot line, back to the 3 nails, and the wind sweeper. There was never good joining or anything.
You mean you the pony pulled it, but you had to sort of joggle it about? Would it come off often?
If you couldn't, you didn't get time to mend all the bad places yourself. And especially at the turns,
Could you lift that? I mean, it's been a hell of a weight.
It's surprising you can learn the knack.
What do you mean?
You get the stance. That can be a natural. Nobody ever told me that.
And that's what you'd be doing. Were you doing putting until the war broke out?
Yes.
Now, what about the safety aspect of mine work? There were various rules. I mean, there were quite strict rules, weren't they, enforced by, I think, the deputies? I mean,
there were safety rules.
Well, you weren't allowed to take matches down, I presume, and things like that. So there was no methane build up anywhere else, or any other gas, as far as.
Not supposed to be. My knowledge of such things is very.
Was it a dry pit or a wet pit?
Very different seasons you get. In the winter season, it's very wet.
How wet would it be in a wet? I mean. How deep was the pit? You said it was shallow. About how deep, roughly?
It'd be hard for me to say what deep mine and shallow mine is. But the Durham Coal Field, there's many places where there's open pots of coal.
On the surface? Now, your brother had been a union man. Were you in the union?
Yes, he was.
Were there many disputes at Emma Colliery during those? What sort of thing would the So what was your daily routine overall then? What time were you on shifts?
Yes.
On the face?
On the face.
Were you strong enough for that?
Well, this was the system was there was two men who had the machine, and the boy followed up, putting timber blocks behind the machine.
What kind of machine were they using at that time? So they weren't doing it by blasting and undercutting and picking?
This was an electric machine. We used to drive a big cable under the face of the wheels tops. The wheels had to drive this cable to go wherever the machine was. It was a big, solid iron thing, you know, about 7 or 8 foot long, 8 inches. He is not for the